Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Chodesh Tov Mvorach. We should all be zoche to have a fantastic month, a month filled with Refuah Shelema, with great things. As we said inside, Iyar is Rashi Tevot, Ani Amonai Rofecha. Today's class, of course, is Refuah Shelema for Chana Bat Tzema Feiga and Eliyahu Shimon Ben Mazal for Tune. Thank you very much. Also, in loving memory of Avraham Megidish, Alav HaShalom, Leilui Nishmat Avraham Ben Amos Vechuta, sponsored by his sister Tamar Megidish. Also dedicated in loving memory of James' brother Saul Barenthal, Leilui Nishmat Yeshia Ben Baruch Meir Tzvi, Baruch Meir Tzvi is the correct way to pronounce it, on his Anaskara, sponsored by Joan and James Barenthal, also sponsored by the Rosh Chodesh King, Yaakov Shirazi, on the occasion of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, La'aslacha b'kol mikol kol, for success in everything. Also dedicated in honor of Josh Cohen, thank you for the visit and support, sponsored by Emmanuel Zaret. Hazaku baruch, my dear friends, let us begin. We know that the parasha begins with the words, Kedoshim tiyu, you should be holy. Ki kadosh ani, God says, for I am holy. Now the question is, in my eyes, the question is, what do these words mean, Kedoshim tiyu? In fact, when you read them as a layman, like me and you, you have that question. The Torah asks you to do something, and it doesn't tell you what it means to do that thing. So as an example, let me give you an example. If the Torah tells you put on tefillin, there's laws. What are the tefillin? How big are they? How many times a day do you put them on? Who puts them on? What time are they relevant to put on, day or night? All those laws are relevant. Where is Hilchot Kiddushah? The Torah obligates you to do something and doesn't tell you how to do it. So all the Rishonim are really bothered by this question. What does it mean that the Torah is commanding you to be holy? Rashi says, Te pirushim min ha'arayot. You should distance yourself from immorality. He's going perhaps along the line that the opposite of Kiddushah is Tum'ah, is impurity, the lack of holiness. What does the lack of holiness look like? That's Arayot, okay? That's how Rashi explains, that you should be separated from Arayot. So as an example, you make sure that you're not engaging in practices which are immoral. That's Kedoshim Tiyu. Ramban famously talks about this idea that a person should not be Naval Birshut HaTorah. What does that mean? It means that there are times when a person has an obligation to do this, this, or this, because that's the obligation that a person has in the Torah. But I could find a way that I'm not actually obligated in this thing if I could find a way. Sorry? Oh, I forgot. I'm recording, but I'm not recording live. Mechila. Okay? I could find a way. I'll have to upload it later. Thank you, Adina. Thank you, Jack. I could find a way, if I'm really desperate to, I could find a way to not be obligated in the mitzvah. I'll give you just a simple example for this. Let's say I don't like making berachot. I don't like doing it. Hassle, let's say. I don't like it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'll make hamotzi, and then I'll take all the things and put them in the meal in order to not make berachot. I don't want bread, but I can't be bothered to make all the berachot of the meal, so I'll make one beracha. I'm not obligated in any of them. Could you imagine a person having that in mind? Now, what's the halakha? Is he obligated in other berachot that come in the seudah? He's not. But if he's doing it in order to avoid a mitzvah, that's a guy who's 100% clean, but maybe also 100% dirty. You got me? Naval Birshut HaTorah. I figure out a way to not be obligated. Now, I'm very happy. Patur. My friends, that's how Ramban learns. But I want to ask a simple question. Simple question. You mean to tell me that when the Torah says, be holy, Ramban, Rashi, seem to be taking the Pasuk and turning it inside out, and not the kind of inside out socks where you can't tell the difference inside or outside. The kind of socks where if you wear it inside out, it looks ridiculous. How could it be that when the Torah, when God says, be holy, you know what he's telling you? Don't be a pig. You know what he's telling you? Don't be an immoral adulterer. I kind of feel like God would have had a different way of saying that, and he would not call that be holy. Like, I'll give you an example. And I always like to use this example. I want you to think of the biggest tzaddik or rabbi that you ever met in your life. You got someone? Who are you thinking of? He's not talking about me, by the way. He's talking about my father. He's thinking about my dad. Okay. Biggest rabbi you ever met in your life? Chaim Ovadia Yosef. Beautiful. Anyone else? Sorry? The Lubavitcher Rebbe. Good. Who? Anyone else? Nobody else? Which one? Chaim Yehuda? Chaim Yehuda Ades. I can't believe, of all names, you said that. We're going to get to you in just 1 second. Chaim Yehuda Ades. Unbelievable. I want you to imagine. I'm imagining now, you know, my Rebbe. I met Chaim Ovadia. I met many great rabbis. But my rabbi is my... I want you to imagine my rabbi is wearing a talit on Yom Kippur. And he's sitting there in Ne'ilah on the holiest time of the year. And he says, Rabotai, we need to be holy people. How many of you in that moment, Chaim Ovadia under the talit, Yom Kippur, be holy? How many of you thought, you know something? I really need to stop committing adultery. That's what he means. That's what he's referring to. You know, I should not be, thank you, Naval, I should not be a disgusting person with the permission of the Torah. How could Rashi and Ramban interpret those words when it's God who is saying them? Kedoshim to you, why ki kadosh ani? You know what it means? It means don't be a pig. Baruch atah, sorry. Please don't say amen unless you're listening to this live. Baruch atah Adonai, Elohim melech haolam, she'akol yam baro. My friends, I want to share with you something that I think is very powerful. There was a great rabbi, his name was Rav Yehuda Ades. I still can't believe that, by the way. That was a home run. Right. Rav Yehuda Ades related the following story. Baruch Hashem. Okay, now it's not. I realized it was Rav Yehuda. It was Rav Yehuda Tzadka. Okay. Now I'm a little bit less weirded out now. It was Rav Yehuda Tzadka from Vizot Liyuda. He related the story about, I think it was his uncle. Yes, his uncle. Rav Yehuda, his uncle was Rav Tzadka Hussein. Okay? He was a famous mohel. Very popular mohel. He was someone who did thousands and thousands and thousands of Brite Milah. Britot. We could not figure out when somebody had Brit Milah for twins, what the plural of Brit Milah is. Brit Milahs, Brit Milot, Britot Milah, Brite Milah, no one knew. All right, I'm sure I'll get someone commenting, will let me know what the actual correct way of saying that is in Lashon Kodesh, I don't know. Okay, my friends, listen to this. Ready? This great rabbi, he's an elderly man, he lived by Kikar HaShabbat. I don't know if anyone knows where that is, if you're from Yerushalayim, you know. It's where Strauss, right, or Yechezkel, wherever those roads meet Geula, meet Rehov Malchei Yisrael, and right over there on the corner, okay? That's where he lived, that's where his house was. He gets invited by someone on Shabbat to do a Brit Milah in Yemin Moshe. You know where Yemin Moshe is? Yemin Moshe is the windmill, okay? That is a walk. It's boiling hot. He's an elderly man. But the guys ask him to do the Brit Milah on Shabbat. He agrees. He gets up. He walks all the way there, schwitzing, huffing and puffing. He finally gets into the Brit Milah, and he's waiting around, and the father is not starting. They're not starting the proceedings. They're not starting the Brit Milah. And it's awkward. What's going on? Soon. Anyway, he notices that again, that everyone's there, the baby's there. He says, what's going on? What are we waiting for? And the father of the Brit Milah, of the Rachanimol says, well, I'm not, he's emming and hawing till eventually the rabbi realizes that he's asked another mohel to do the Brit Milah. And now it's very awkward because he's here, the elderly mohel, and this other guy is also here. Maybe he was waiting him out. I don't know, to see if he would leave, if he would have to go. He says, don't worry, if that's what you're waiting for, because you're worried it's going to upset me, it's fine. I'm perfectly fine. You have the other guy, you would like to use him, no problem. Go for it. Don't wait. They're hemming and hawing, they're waiting, and this. A few more minutes go by, and the rabbi said, who are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? I already told you, I don't mind. I'm mochel, let him do it, it's fine. The father of the Aviyah Ben turns every color of red, and he says, Rabbi, the other guy that I invited to do the Brit Milah, he left his kit, the knife, he left his Brit Milah, all the tools, he left it at home. And we're all too embarrassed to ask you if he could use your things for the thing, for the Brit Milah. Invited the rabbi, he does the walk, he's practically mooting on the way, okay? Turns out he doesn't want to use him. The other guy don't even have the vessels. Now he wants him to use his. By the way, people in general, even if it wasn't in such a situation, if you call a mohel and ask him, can I use your good? You know, people are very, with their instruments, they're very careful, and maybe he's not going to use it right. Maybe he's going to ruin it, you know. The rabbi on the spot says, sure, of course, no problem. Take it, go straight, do the Brit Milah. They do the Brit Milah. They're walking home. And his shamosh, the rabbi's, the one who attends to him, the gabai, he can't hold back anymore. He says, Rabbi, what was that? He says, what was that? He says, in all my years of doing Brit Milah, he says, never did I do a Brit Milah as perfect as the one I did today. The guy says, Rabbi, I don't know, maybe the heat is getting to you. You didn't do the Brit Milah today. I don't know if you remember. Remember what went down? Or maybe you're having, you blocked out the traumatic memory. What do you mean? He says, every time I do a Brit Milah, people come up to me, they say, thank you, Azaku Baruch, Kavod. They try and pay me, they try and do this, try and do that, even though I don't take payment, even though I don't do it. But in the end, mixed into the mitzvah, is the fact I'm standing in the front, you know, I'm directing traffic, everyone's waiting for me, everyone's looking up to me, they need me. So I have a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is mixed with maybe some personal benefit, some personal kavod. So who knows if my mitzvah is 100% pure. But he says, but today, I did the walk. When God rewards a person for the mitzvah, if a person has a good machshava tova, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misarafa lemaaseh, you tried to do a mitzvah and for whatever reason you were unable to do so, God counts your thoughts as if you did a perfect mitzvah. He said, and in this mitzvah, I got no kavod, no one thought to pay me, it was very embarrassing, it was actually in some ways maybe even a little humiliating, and I was able to give my vessels to the guy, I was able to be mochel. I did a Brit Milah today in Shamayim that was absolutely perfect. I don't know if I ever did a mitzvah of Brit Milah as perfect as this one. I don't know if I'll ever do it again as perfect as this one. That's the story with Rav Yehuda, with Rav Sadka Hussein, Rav Yehuda Sadka's uncle. My friends,
That's what Kiddushah means. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. That's what Kiddushah means. To not do a mitzvah. The answer is, no. You missed the point. There are many times when a person is doing a mitzvah, but as time has gone on in the asiyata mitzvot, they become robots. I'll give you an example. There are times when you're not supposed to answer amen. And you can't help yourself. Right? Someone yesterday came up to me to thank me that every time I make a beracha, I make the announcement, please do not say amen unless you're listening to this live. You know who you are. Why, she said, because when you make a beracha, even if I know, automatic. Amen. No matter, I just said this to someone just a second ago in the shul. No matter how many times I ask, I beg, I plead, if you're fulfilling a mitzvah with someone else's beracha, you're not supposed to, you're not allowed to say, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. It's a hefsek, it's breaking in the beracha. So you always say, Amen. But if someone is making a beracha for you, you do not say Baruch Hu Shmo. So let's say someone's going up to do Gomel. Baruch Ata Amonai Elkein Ha Hagomel Chayim. Don't say Baruch Hu Shmo if you're trying to fulfill your obligation with him. Why? Because you just broke his beracha in half with your words. Okay? Still, no matter what, I pray to Hashem that there should be just once that I should be zochet to see Havdalah in the shul where you don't have people shouting out loud with gusto. With excitement. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo! Why? Because Shmuel is a Hazan, he sings it beautifully, and he pauses like you're supposed to. Baruch Ata Amonai, Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. You're not supposed to say Baruch Ata Amonai Ben Kodesh Lechol. You're supposed to pause, but a second, not in that pause, in that space, immediately. By habit, what do people do? Even if I make the announcement right before Havdalah, we still get Baruch Hu Baruch Shemos. Now, some of you are thinking maybe they're making Havdalah at home. They don't want to fulfill the obligation. Hazak u Baruch. You've successfully fulfilled the mitzvah of judging people favorably. There's something called mitzvot anashim melumada. The mitzvot of people sometimes becomes melumada. Habit. And you're just doing the mitzvah because you're doing the mitzvah. I want to share with you a beautiful story. I was on a program just now. Beautiful. Anyway, on this program, there was someone who was reading the Torah for one of the minyanim. And he read, they would call him all the time to read for the minyan. He even went to read sometimes when he didn't pray in that minyan. Okay? So he did them a solid. The last day of the holiday comes, and they're selling the aliyah for Az Yashir. Two guys going back and forth, bidding back and forth, for the right to the aliyah of Az Yashir. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Finally, they get to the price that they sell it for. Hazak Baruch goes to one guy. Beautiful. He comes up to the other guy and he says, listen, I know you were bidding against me and I know that I got... He says, but why don't... I bought the aliyah, so I'll go for the aliyah. But why don't you, if you know how to read the aliyah, why don't you read it? So you'll read the aliyah and I'll get the aliyah. That way we both at least have a part in this mitzvah that we both wanted. The Baal Koreh, the one who's reading, says, Slicha, excuse me. I'm reading all the holiday. You know, I'm reading... It's my zechut to read. You can't kick me out, right? We weren't bidding for who was reading. Nobody's paying me to read. You know, I have the right to read the aliyah just like I read all the other aliyot. Yeah, I see you smiling. What do you think? I understand the guy. Anyway, now it's awkward. The guy who wants the aliyah as the aliyah. The guy who's supposed to read wants to, you know, he said he wants him to read. But the other guy said, what do you mean? I read everything else. You can't just kick me out now. My friends, the Baal HaMitzvah, the guy who bought the mitzvah, says, you know, I wanted to give you the right to read the Aliyah, but this guy who's now reading feels it's his right to read it. I don't want to make machloke. So he says, you, Baal Koreh, you read it. You, the guy who I outbid, you take my Aliyah. And I'll have the zechut of purchasing the mitzvah. What a beautiful, beautiful ma'aseh. Isn't that gorgeous? What a beautiful thing for a Jew to do. My friends, much bigger than the mitzvah of buying as yashir is the mitzvah of buying shalom. That's what he bought. My friends, it should be a source of beracha for him. It should be a source of beracha for him and his family. For refuah shlema, for health, for wealth, for parnasah, for mazal, for everything that he could ever want for himself. En kili machazik bracha ela shalom. The vessel that holds bracha more than anything else is shalom. But my friends, I want to share with you, that is kedoshim tihiyu. The Torah says you should be holy. The commentators ask, what does that mean? You gave me a bunch of mitzvot to do. Okay? A bunch of mitzvot that you want me to do. Right? You told me what to do. So all of those mitzvot, if I do them, I become holy, right? So if I give tzedakah, and I leave the corner of my field for the poor, and I keep Shabbat, and I make sure to take care of the Kohen and the Levi, and I watch out for the Yatom and Almanah, and I lend the poor Jew money and help him get back on his feet. If I do all the mitzvot, that's Kiddusha surely, right? So what extra did you add then by telling me, be holy? Everything else is included, all those other mitzvot. And the answer is, yes, that's right. But sometimes a person needs to realize what the mitzvah is. What does this moment command me to do? What is my obligation in this scenario? I bought the Aliyah, it's mine. The guy at Balkor, fine. Here's this other guy that I just asked him to do it. Now he's dejected, he's upset. Who's he going to be upset at the Balkor? That in his mind took the thing back from him. Did you get this? Says the guy, I'm out. You take the Aliyah, I bought it, I'm going to give the money. He's still giving the money to that guy. He didn't even tell the guy, listen, you know what? You take the Aliyah at the lower bid that you were going to have it for, and I'll step out. I mean, that's a smart thing to do, right? That's a clever thing to do. Kedoshim to you means, if I'm trying to be holy, if I'm trying to do the right thing, even sometimes when I'll pee the mitzvah, this is what I'm asked for. My friends, I want you to understand then, the concept of being kadosh, the word kadosh means to be holy, but the word kadosh also means separate, different. Okay? That idea that something is different, is apart, is separated from the norm. This guy is a person who lives a life apart, who has a mindset that is different than most. That, my friends, is kadosh. Says Rashi, says Ramban in their own way, that a person who thinks with this mindset, how does it manifest itself? How does it show up? Says Ramban, you know how? When the guy is not obligated to do something, but it's not the right thing to do, what does he do then? A guy who just does mitzvot by habit, he does what God said just because, look, I have to do this, I have to do that. There's no understanding of what's right, of what's correct, of what's proper, of what's holy. So you know what he does? When he could get away with something, that's the halakha. What do you want from my life? Kedoshim to you asks you to bring light to that place, to that decision as well. My friends, a brit milah is a huge mitzvah. To create the covenant between Hashem and Avraham, to create it, to mark it, to place it on a Jewish baby is unbelievable. What a big mitzvah. He invited you. You're the old mohel. You've made this effort. Imagine you tell the guy, listen, you asked me to do it. I'm here. Hadad don't even have his knife. If ever there was a sign from God to the guy who had the Brit Milah, what the right thing to do was, that's going to be it, right? I mean, could you imagine? You know, when you look at someone and you say you only had one job, you invite the guy to do Brit Milah. What is he going to do with a disposable knife, chopsticks? I mean, come on. The man understood the assignment. Rav Tzadka Hussein did a perfect mitzvah. My friends, Kiddusha is something elusive. But I think that perhaps even it's hard to understand what it means in the first place. But there are times in a person's life when after having done something, they feel kadosh. They didn't do a mitzvah maybe, but they feel kiddushah. They experience a sense of closeness with Hashem, of elevation. And there are times, my friends, that are the opposite. When a person does a mitzvah, at least officially, and they feel dirty. The Torah over here was asking us to be sensitive to this, to recognize, to look out for this being, feeling, acting holy. You have people who will humiliate people publicly. And then afterwards you say, you know, maybe they're like, Rabbi, you know, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha. You know, you have to give your friend rebuke. I said, maybe it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Nobody asked you to make it your favorite mitzvah, Rohi. You know, everyone has one mitzvah that they, you know, punch their ticket to Gan Eden. Yours is only rebuke. I don't see you doing much else with as much excitement as you do this mitzvah. To become aware that if I love this mitzvah, maybe the reason why I'm doing it is not because of holiness, because of justice, because of correctness, because of kiddushah, but it's because I like being critical of people. My friends, the minute you realize that, you realize that this mitzvah is lacking kiddushah. And I think maybe that's what the pasuk is trying to say. Kiddushim to you should be holy. And you know how you'll know if you're being holy. Ki kadosh ani. Because I am Hashem your God. Do you feel closer to me? Do you feel a relationship with me when you're doing this? Or do you feel excited that you got to call someone out? That's not a relationship with me. That's a relationship with your Yetzirah. And you did a mitzvah, by the way. I think Rashi and Ramban are both pointing this out. It doesn't say in Rashi that you shouldn't commit adultery. It says tihyu pirushim, that you should be someone who is parush, who has pulled themselves away. When a person does the right thing because it's not modesty, why are you not doing it? Because you're not allowed to? Or because it's not the right thing? The difference is between shutting your eyes, because I have to, or being parush, or separating yourself from it. Not being in that place. Not going to those places. Not exposing yourself in this way to this challenge, because you know what? I know this is not a pure, a holy, a refined thing. The key word in Rashi is not arayot, immoral relations. The key word in Rashi is pirushim. Hashem should bless us, Be'ezat Hashem. We should be zocher to taste and to experience what kiddusha looks, feels, and tastes like. And when we have that feeling of kiddusha inside of us, it is the be-all and end-all of mitzvot. Am Yisrael is given a bunch of mitzvot. Included in those mitzvot is kedoshim to you. But the purpose of the mitzvot is that we should become V'yitem li. God says, I'm going to give you the Torah. V'yitem li, and you will be for me. Am sigula. You will be for me a nation that is a treasure. Mamlechet kohanim. A kingdom of priests. But what is the final word in the sentence? V'goy kadosh. And a nation of holiness. We call ourselves Am Yisrael. We call ourselves Yehudim. Because we are Israelites. Because we are grateful people. Are we a holy people? Are we individually holy people? Do you feel holiness? That's the challenge of this pasuk. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.